picture showing? I wanted you to see a picture of Bo Buchanan. Bo is the pilot of the plane that Rudy was flying when it crashed all those many years ago. And this is a very odd morning, but he had a stroke the other night, and sometime during this talk, probably, they are going to pull the plug. And it's not exactly a eulogy, but was still with us. Interestingly, the last talk that Rudy ever gave was about how to function, if you will, when somebody you love dies. And he said the most important thing you can do is to send love into the void that they left behind, and that it works as a fuel for their transcendence, upliftment. So some of you knew Bo well, some of you did not know him at all. Anyone who watched the Rudy videos at any point in time, Bo was exceedingly central to the making of those films. Ultimately, Bob Sink was the real finalizer, creator of the movies. But without Bo, they would not have happened. When we were making the film, I was the cameraman of sorts, and Bo was the sound man. And so those films really exist in a way. Rudy continues to play a part in our lives because Bo showed up to help document his presence in our lives. Being the pilot of a plane that ultimately ends in the death of someone you care about deeply is a powerful psychic wound that you do not get over. Everyone else on the plane survived. Mimi, Stuart. Rudy did not, and Bo has carried that with him for all of these years. It's 1973, I guess. And interestingly, the night of Rudy's passing, we all gathered at his house in New York on 10th Street. And I don't know why it fell on me to answer the door when anybody would arrive, but I did. And two primary arrivals that night, which were really powerful. One was Rudy's mother, and I tried to help Ray up the stairs to where we were all sitting. And I'd say three times or four times going up those stairs, she wanted to throw herself back off of the stairs. And I held on for life. I just held on because that's what you do. And managed to get her into the sitting room where Hilda, you probably don't all know or remember Hilda Charlton, but she was upstairs, another teacher in the lineage of Nityananda. And there were so many of us gathered. It was an interesting experience because Rudy had told a number of people before he died that he was going to die in a plane crash. And he was on his way to Europe, and we all assumed, and I've told this story many times, but we all assumed the plane crash would be Rudy over the Atlantic with many people. But it was smaller than that. And Rudy was the only one who died. It was not that far from here. It was just up north of Big Indian, where Rudy had his center. And second person who arrived for me to answer the door was Bo. And I ran downstairs, and there was a part of me, I suppose, that was really angry that my teacher was gone and that Bo was the pilot of the plane. It wasn't exactly a rational anger, but it was a certain, how could this have happened? And the minute I saw him, he started crying, and I just opened my arms, and something said to me, "This is your work for the rest of your life. Take care of Bo." Bo was not the easiest person I knew, and nor was he the first person I would have imagined that I would have a responsibility for outside of immediate family. But I knew somehow this was mine. And over the decades that followed, we maintained a very loving, spiritually connected life. And I got to watch so many evolutionary stages in his development as a human being. The way I have gotten to watch the evolutionary changes in all of you, because we're all in some ways contemporaries. He was a little bit older. He was 82 or 3, I'm not exactly sure. And for the last decade or so, he was living in San Diego, which was south of where I was teaching in Los Angeles, and I only taught there once a month, and almost every month he would drive up from San Diego. He was married to this exquisitely wonderful living expression of joy named Carmen. How they found each other, I still don't fully understand, but it was the gift of gifts, really. And she just was always joy around him. And at one point they moved to Spain, which is where she was from, and had family there, and they needed money to make the move, and I gave them, Blanche and I gave them a lot of money, kind of as a goodbye gift. And then 3 years later, they came back. Spain did not work out, and they were back, and oh well. Over my life, I've really given away so much money, and it never has ever returned. They gave me back the money. The only people who ever did that. And I kept watching this evolution in Bo that was grounded by one thing. He was completely and absolutely devoted to and connected to Rudy. Everything was Rudy. If somebody said and talked about Christ in their life, he would talk about Rudy in his life. God was Rudy for him. And he always referenced Rudy in a way that made me a little uncomfortable, because Rudy to me was both human and transcendent, but I would never have gone into the savior mode exactly. But Bo did. And I made it my responsibility to support that. Because it was the connection, a direct, immediate connection between the unknown, godlike soul within us and himself. Bo knew God, if you will, through Rudy. And through that incredible, powerful tunnel of energy that connected him to the other side, if you will, the what is, the infinite, the absolute. Rudy was his pathway to that. And I knew, when I first heard this news yesterday, the day before, I knew that Rudy would greet him on the other side. There was no question for me that he would be greeted in the way that great devoted Christians will be, they will find Christ at the end of their journey. I don't say that as the end of the journey, I just think it is the welcoming to the greater vastness that we are all going to be entering. I don't know that we all need to be greeted. I don't know that all of us will be a separate being who will find joy in the connection to something that was part of our life. But for many people, I believe the end of the process of life is being greeted by the thing you most love and care for, and that opens the door to what is really just pure love, pure, unadulterated, oceanic love. And I believe that Bo, within moments, honestly, is going to be entering that. They are pulling the plug. I've been around plugs that are pulled, so I know what that feels like. It's strangely silent. And we don't see anything. All we do is face the mystery. We all face the mystery in other people's death and even in our own. It is ultimately dissolving of everything we knew and believed on some level. But I think, again, who can talk about this with any certainty, but I think the very essential descriptive love of your life greets you as you enter whatever it is, the mystery of our being. And I, in a way, ask all of you, while you sit here, even those of you who didn't know Bo, to try and feel the void that he is leaving behind as he rises up through this mysterious force, and to, in a sense, allow yourself to feel Rudy at the other end. Feel the greeting. And if anybody could greet you with a bear hug of gratitude, love, and affection, it would have been Rudy. Nobody hugged like that. Nobody could do it. It was the strongest, hardest, softest, most gentle, absolute, complete embrace of love. One would get that from Rudy regularly when he was alive. And after Rudy died, we all had a inner access to that hug. Not many people leave that behind. Some people do. Some of our family members will do that. Some of our friends will do that. They will give us a direct line to inner wonder, if you will, inner magic, whatever you want to call it. It's so powerful, it defies naming. But it is the most beautiful resolution, if you will, of what a life can be. And Bo is moments from that resolution. And because it's so rare to have people standing around or being around, even at a distance of 3,000 miles, it doesn't matter, pooling that love into their life, saying thank you for the movie of Rudy, saying thank you for being part of so many people's lives, saying thank you for your gift to Carmen and to her family, to say thank you for all of the goodness that you brought into the world, and to let go of all the crap stuff, because, you know, God knows he had it, and I have it, and we all have it. And all of that really falls away unless you decide to carry it with you, your choice. But mostly we've been spending all of these weeks and months and years of practice letting go mostly of the crud. It falls away. You do not have to take any of it with you other than your choice to do so. Bo worked hard and long. He never ceased the practice. He never stopped his devotion. His devotion was grounded in the fact that he and Rudy were wedded in a way that none of us can ever understand or know. I've had the good fortune of meeting a number of people who have been responsible for or lost loved ones and seen how the horror and the tragedy of that has become the ultimate gift, because you cannot avoid the opening to something so beautiful and so wondrous that ultimately represents the passage beyond this world into something greater. People who you are close to, who you are wedded to, who you are bound to in one form or another are a doorway for you. And if you devote yourself to them in your lifetime, they will be devoted to you as you move beyond this sphere of manifested form. So, I just want to say good speed to Bo. God's speed. God loves you. And there is so much love pouring in your direction. Use it as the fuel. I don't know how many of you noticed today that two airplanes flew over the class, at the beginning of the class. I've never seen that before. And it was like, oh, okay. I love those messages. Those little tiny signals to me of, I guess, narrative coherence, the idea that the story is being well told, that it's ending well, that this is the way it should be, that an airplane should fly over and basically revisit the fundamental moment of Bo's life as he's about to depart this realm. May we all have that. May we all find the thing in ourselves that allows our final moments of life to, in a way, have that great dramatic crescendo, that sense of, ah. I mean, some stories don't end with crescendo. Some stories end with, oh, or something simple. Some go so quickly that there's no place in the day-to-day life to have an ending that would give you satisfaction. My sense of that, and I think Rudy, in his plane crash experience, who once told me before he'd had a plane crash, he said, when I die, my heart will explode into a billion pieces and everyone will get part of it, basically. And he did die like that. His heart exploded, crashed into a mountain. And I sit here today as a spark of that warmth, that heart, that has been evolving and growing in me for 50 years. And, you know, if you tend to it, if you tend to a garden, it grows. You tend to the nurturing that comes, it grows. As I tried to say earlier, I think, Rudy told people he was going to die in a plane crash, and he assembled all of his teachers to be in New York. And everyone came. And then he died. And so everyone was there. Everyone was there. And, you know, I was not a teacher. I was just a kid, really, who really loved Rudy. Really loved Rudy. I couldn't believe how much he meant. And I told this story before, but before I was upstairs and ready to come down and greet Bo, I was down in the meditation room, and everybody had gone upstairs but me. I just didn't want to go upstairs. I just wanted to lie there and be there on the floor. And I literally just laid down, and I bent down, and I bowed down, and I just had my own quiet moment. And then, forgive me, I know this is a stupid story, but something goosed me, like that, right out my butt. I was so startled, then did it again. I looked around, of course, nobody was there, and it was so Rudy. You know, if anybody would have ever done something like that, it would have been Rudy. And it basically, he was telling me, get over it. It's not what you think it is. It's not a drama. It's just another big moment. It's going to change everything, but it's not going to weigh you down. And it never did. I never cried for Rudy. I just celebrated this amazing life that he had. And I celebrated Bo, because Bo was the instrument that brought Rudy into his release. Rudy did not have to hang around another 40 years. He did not have to keep teaching day after day. He was so prolific. He was so massive in his capacity to give that it still filters into the world through the various people who teach his work and to everyone who studies his work, because you guys, you are walking, breathing emanations of what Rudy represented. And now that I've lived to be this age, almost double Rudy's age when he died, I have begun to see the rarity of a Rudy figure in one's life. There are teachers out there, and there are really good teachers and maybe great teachers, and they all have their shtick and their way of presenting this to the world, and they talk as though they know something, and I must say my own evolution is to the point where I don't think I know very much at all. On the other hand, I have found if you arrive at not knowing through having known, it's a pretty big arrival. And you just let go of all of the magnitude of teaching. Would Rudy have done that? I have no idea. You know, he was very, he knew, he understood life. He gave these talks that were so beyond me, and yet I knew they were true. And what happened was that Rudy and what he had to offer was so big that in the end it needed all of us to represent it. Bo offered a doorway for Rudy to depart. He really, in a sense, had nothing to do with it. It was not his karmic punishment to be that doorway. It was a gift. Someone had to do it. You know, I wanted to demonize Bo for about 5 minutes after the attack. The attack is the wrong word, the crash. And as I said, when I walked downstairs, long flight of stairs, and opened the door and he was standing there, there was no demon there. There was a man of God who had taken on a very powerful and essential role in this world. What a hard road. And if anybody traveled that road well, it was Bo. He didn't end up with great success in the world, but he was a successful human being. This is the hardest thing to talk about with most people in the West, because accomplishment feels like a grading point for a life. And I can't say Bo accomplished all these different things. He made porno films at one point.
Captain Lust?
Yeah, Captain Lust. And Rudy loved that. He loved that he made porno films. He had an Airbnb before there were Airbnbs. He had a boat. He had a very rich, dynamic life. A lot went on. But here was his success. He never forgot the essential truth and love that flooded through him because of his profound connection to a loss. He never, ever, ever forgot it, not for a second. If we were all so lucky to have that kind of connection in our lives, we would have blessed lives. And blessed lives don't mean that you make $1 million. It doesn't mean that you get recognition by the world. It just means you have walked through life touched by life, touched by the transcendent in life, touched by the beauty of being alive, touched by being, by the joy of being, by the richness of getting up in the morning and being able to be grateful to be here. Trust me, that is a wonderful, beautiful life. All of us are sitting here now, and I've been sitting with some of you for 40 years or more, and we're coming to the end of the story. And Bo is one of the few early people to be departing, and I've had friends recently who have also departed, which is that, like, okay, this is how it happens. I remember my parents would read the obituary page every morning to see which of their friends had passed away over the night. And I would go, oh my God, that is terrible. But you have to live in one city your whole life to be able to do that. I haven't done that. But we are at the point where we are all moving into the last act, maybe the last scenes of the last act. And people are talking to me about, oh, I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I haven't gotten to this point, I haven't gotten to that. And sensing the story wasn't working for them completely, that they had wished something else had happened. And I don't know if one can be totally universal with this, but all I can say to everyone in this room and anyone who's listening and anyone who would like to be this, having a life that knows and remembers that being alive is an exquisite experience and a great gift, and that being has within it elements of kindness, compassion, love, beauty, truth, and that they are worth everything, and that what you've done in life is a past tense something. It does not
define you.
Define you. Thank you, George. It does not define you. I call it the resume in the file cabinet. And to me, because I'm going through a really interesting time, and I'm not trying to make this about me, but I'm trying to give you some sense of things. I am at a point where the atmosphere in which I live is completely other than anything I have ever known before. I do not know who I am. I have a history, a narrative, a background, file cabinets full of stuff having been done. I have people around who reflect my past tense, and I love them. I have a literal file cabinet full of old stuff, many file cabinets. But I was driving into town the other day, and I went, I don't know where I am. I don't know who I am. I don't know what this is about. The thing that was familiar, this idea of a person, has gone away. And I just am. I just am. And I know that we are all just being. That's all we are. And this story that was so rich and important and vital and referential, and you could go back and go, when I was a kid, this, and when I was younger, that, gone. I can go there, but I don't. Not that I don't want to, it's just not meaningful. It's just, and what exists right now, and what exists right now, is sitting in this room, in this space, with a garden of the most beautiful trees and plants and living organisms that are all here being watered by the what is, the am, that I am. And when I say I am, forget the Bruce word. It's just this am. And it's watering and taking care of plants that are deeply loved. And much of the source of that water comes from my connection to Rudy, my connection to Blanche, to my children, my grandchildren, my parents. There's a rush of exquisitely beautiful energy coming in as a nurturing source, but mostly the names that surround it are disappearing. And as I move into a certain kind of what we might call spiritual dementia, I have no clue, but it is really, really working. And the reason it is working is because this thing that is, the am, I am, loves you. Loves you. beyond measure. We sit here today taking all of that love and focusing it on Bo. And on his journey into the am, the I am. His journey into all that we are. And one day, we will do that for each other. One day, we will sit here sending this love, whatever we can muster, kindness, energy, simplicity, ability to rise above limitations. We will send all of this stuff as a package, if you will, of goodwill to each of us as we take off. And take off we will. We will. For Bo, it was sudden. Stroke in the brain stem. The whole brain died immediately. That's how it happened. It's kind of a good way. I think the lesson right now is, what do you do when someone dies or is dying? And Rudy put it really clearly. Take all the love you can feel for that person, send it into the atmosphere, and let it fuel their journey. We can do that all day long with each other, even in the life journey. But in the death journey, this is a really crucial thing to remember. So, Bo, so much love, gratitude, joy in having known you, joy in being part of your life, Carmen for being there to support him so well. To all of those who loved Bo and all of those who care about Bo to this minute, we send you on this great journey, and I have no doubt that Rudy is standing there with wide open arms, and it will be one of the great reunions of all time.
He was Peter Pan.
Yeah, he was.
I
don't know if anybody wants to say anything, you know.
But he once said that Bo, if he was born a couple hundred years ago, would have been a pirate.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Bo as pirate. We should remember that one in the scheme of things. He was not like anybody I ever knew at all, and it was not somebody I would naturally be drawn to. But I will say, over time, all of the barriers fell away, and there was just this. It was really a great thing to experience, and I will miss him.
We can see it and smile.
Yeah.